curated to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Our goal is to equip listeners with the resources to always move forward.
Thanks for tuning in for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Carla Soans, and I am thrilled to be here with Ron for another episode. And Ron, this week you had a chance to interview Lucas Ramirez regarding his new book. And I know you had such an interesting and really thought-provoking conversation with Lucas. And I just am curious what your big takeaways were.
Hey, Carla, first thing, good morning. I guess we're not supposed to say morning because people are listening to it at a different time, but it's morning here when we're doing this. So Lucas has become a friend. I actually saw him on stage in Atlanta at Catalyst Atlanta maybe 3 years ago now, and he was doing a talk on murmuration. Murmuration is that thing you've seen where a flock of starlings moves in concordance and creates these amazing shapes. Well, Lucas has talked about how you can interact as a society and a culture and how we're interdependent with each other. And so it was an amazing talk where, you know, we really talked about this idea of civility and how to disagree without being disagreeable. And it's an amazing talk. It's an amazing book. And I'm lucky to call him friend.
Well, listening audience, let's tune in and hear with our own ears from Lucas Ramirez.
Welcome to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I am so excited to have Lucas Ramirez with us today. Lucas has become one of those friends that you only see, you know, once or twice a year, but you follow their work. And you know, it's great to hang out with people you admire, and you get to admire their work. You get to admire the way they think and generosity of pouring into people. And Lucas has become that in my life. And I think after today, he'll be that in your life too. So Lucas, thanks for joining us on the Always Forward Leadership Podcast.
Man, Ron, it is so great to be here. Thank you for having me on. I've so enjoyed our friendship as it's growing and the Lord bringing us together. So thank you.
So the first time I knew of you, you were on stage in Atlanta and you were talking about a word that I didn't know, but about a process I did know. And that's murmuration. Will you share with us how you got into that? And I tell you, you know, there were 10,000 people or so in that audience that day and people watching it from around the world. And it was one of the most powerful, I don't know what that talk was. I'd like to say it was an hour, but it was probably 15 or 20 minutes. But it was an incredible day. And I made a point to meet backstage and talk about it. But to kind of share with us the Cliff Notes version of that talk and how it took you to your new book.
Yeah, absolutely. So basically, I was captivated one day very early as I was reading and researching by a video of this natural phenomenon called a murmuration. And that's the new word that you learned that day. And that's the new word that I'm trying to get into the language and vocabulary of leaders everywhere. This phenomenon is when flocking starlings come together in a special way. And you can't think of just a normal flock of birds. That wouldn't do it justice. That's why scientists had to give it a new name, a new word, because it truly is something entirely new than just a flock of birds. So there's been new research on these formations. And if you've never seen it, do yourself a favor. Go to YouTube and just Google murmurations or go to my site, lucasramirez.org, and we've got videos there as well. And it is just swooping and swirling. It's a it's like this majestic art in the sky. And so the fascinating part is that it is beautiful to look at. It inspires all sorts of questions like why and how is this possible when you are trying to absorb it and take it in. But there's been new research through GPS tracking, advanced video technologies that are uncovering the why and the how. And that's where I dove into this research to then pull from it so that we can learn in our human endeavors, how can we achieve this effortless, beautiful unity and collective movement that we so long for in our families, in our politics, in our businesses and organizations. And so that's the vision that I got to cast on that stage. And then from that, this new book has just come to life and captivating the hearts and minds of leaders. So that's the murmuration.
which is when people go to your site, lucasramirez.com, or the YouTube Murmuration, it's going to be one of those things that go, oh, that thing. Oh, yeah, that's amazing. And it was really one of those aha moments. And
right.
For me, that's what my life's about right now is aha moments, exposing myself to places that I get to have that and get to be hang out with people who drive that in my life. And we've mentioned a couple of times, you know, you have a new book out, and which is, I guess, Host Etiquette 101, that I'm supposed to say the name. So let's be really clear. It's Designed for More. And really, it's about next generation leaders. So tell us about the book, what drove you to it, but kind of the Cliff Notes version of what our listeners can expect when they read it.
Yeah. So unity within diversity, Ron, is the most paramount pursuit that a leader can commit to. And I know that sounds like a sweeping statement, but if you think about it, this has been the greatest search of man within philosophy. Even on our American coins, we have the phrase, e pluribus unum, out of many, one, because we know that being one among and amidst our diversity is absolutely critical. That's why when you look at the most successful teams or the companies of history that have outperformed any imagination, those are the ones that somehow found that magic of unity. And so not only is that unity and collective movement a high leverage thing for the success and the accomplishment of our desired outcomes, it's also desperately urgent. I mean, if you just look at our world, our communities are filled with increasingly divided, judgmental rhetoric and hate. I mean, it's really concerning. And that negativity and division can quickly become violent if we're not careful. It could tear apart a business. It could tear apart our nation, a family. And so unity, I cannot stress enough how paramount it is for us to take seriously the pursuit of unity within our marriages, organizations, and communities. So my book, Designed for More, casts a vision for why that matters so deeply. But then also we got to give you a how, right? I mean, if I could just tell you where we want to go, it's one thing. But what we've been struggling for in our world is the how. And so we give you that hope by turning to nature. There's so much beauty and wonder in creation. And really, over history, we've learned so much. And even our modern day aviation industry exists because of lessons we learned from the birds. And so the line I say is, birds first taught us how to fly, and now they will teach us how to unify and achieve collective movement in all our human endeavors. That's why we look to the Murmuration.
That's awesome. I've been thinking a lot about this, as have a lot of leaders right now, with everything going on and in our society. And I'm on a social media hiatus. I post, but I'm not reading anything because my soul was getting a little beat up and bruised just reading all the hate and the animosity and the negativity. And so I, along with 100 leaders here in Michigan, led by our governor, have signed a civility pact, where we've committed to, in all of our interactions, to think about civility first, this unity idea, and to encourage our organizations to do that. Some of the biggest organizations, universities, leaders in our state have done that. And I really think we're, as a country, going to have to begin to unify around this idea. You know, and I had somebody the other day send me a little note about this idea, and said, you know, we're the only country in the world that was founded on the principle of equality. All of us are equal. We put it on our money that of many are one. We're equal together, and happiness. And the current public discourse doesn't focus on either one of those. We're focused on dividing. We're the most connected we've ever been in the history of the world. And we're the absolutely most divided that we've ever been. And we all forgot. We just want to be happy. We just want to love our families and do great things together. And and so it strikes me, you know, and I drive home every night. There's a billboard. I don't know who put the billboard up. Some national group, I'm sure, of Abraham Lincoln, you know, with his quote about a house divided. What are those solutions? What are the things that you see the hows on how we bring people back together? I know you're a man of deep faith, but for this, the faith community is as divided as it may ever have been in history. And we're not just divided along Baptist versus whether we're dunking people or sprinkling people in baptism, we're divided on, you know, whether women should have roles and these really kind of silly discussions. But so it isn't just the business and not-for-profit and culture that's divided. It's our churches. It's our whole culture. How do we fix this?
Yeah, great questions. So in the book, we outline 7 principles from the murmuration to help us achieve unity in this collective movement that just feels like it slips through our hands. You know, the metaphor we use is like a child grasping for sand or a voice always around the next corner. So how do we do it? So one of the principles of the 7 is divide, you die. Every time that a starling splits off from the flock, they become instantly the target of their predator. And if we don't understand this principle that in our division comes our demise, that we are going to suffer the consequences long term. So that's why for us, we're raising our voice and saying it's time to disrupt division and demolish the dam of disunity in our communities. So how do we do that? Here's a couple of things. We can't go somewhere new without doing new things, right? If we want different results, we have to learn to think in new ways. And this is a little abstract, so stay with me, because a lot of times we want something to do, like take action with our hands. And I believe that ground zero for achieving this in our communities, like you're saying, and at this divided house and our politics and our communities, ground zero is in how I think and learning new disciplines of how to think. In our Western toolkit, many of us, unknowingly, this is a current beneath the surface, we have a very individualistic mindset. And sometimes that brings us into our, you know, what psychologists call in-groups, you know, basically your clique or your flock, to use termination, you know, murmuration terms. And listen to this. This blew me away in my research. There's this idea that psychologists use, and it's called the ethical paradox of group loyalty. And it's a kind of a fancy way of saying, even though a group may be made up of individually selfless people, let's say Democrats and Republicans, just for example, let's say that whichever side you're on, even though that group is made up of individuals who are themselves selfless, when we define our flock or our in-group too tightly, individual selflessness transmutates into group selfishness. And it's a fascinating thing to think about, because what it is it's a group protection mechanism. Like, we want to protect our group. We want to protect our Democratic side or our Republican side. And even though individually I want to love people and serve people and not be selfish, somehow out of my control, it transmutates into something negative to protect our group. So the trick is, for me, we need to learn to redefine our flock. We need to redefine that we are the United States of America, or we are the gathering place, or we are our company name, we are our city name, we are something larger than the smaller flocks that we over-identify. It's not wrong to identify with smaller groups, but the danger becomes when we over-identify with those smaller groups, then we allow the ethical paradox of group loyalty to do its negative work.
No, I think that's gold. I hope people go back and re-listen to that, because I think as you were saying that, I was thinking in my own life about those things. And, you know, I've shared with the listeners before that my wife Lynn's grandfather was a Presbyterian minister in Selma, Alabama, during the peak of all the reasons you know Selma. And Presbyterian, pretty liberal congregation, but when he supported, you know, the rights of those marching and stood in the pulpit and said, Christ calls us to do better than what we're doing, he got escorted to his car and off the property. And in retrospect, he wasn't speaking anything that the individuals didn't agree with, but you get people in that group that transcended their individual belief.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, that's where we get prejudice. That's where we get riots of groups that you go, how'd you handle that? That's what made Dr. King such an amazing leader, is he could get the group to maintain their beliefs and not turn violent in the face of violence.
Wow. Powerful. Ron, that is such a great point. And those are the types of leaders that we need. I mean, that right there is the essence of a humble leader who's going to help people move beyond following, like Jim Collins says, a person, but following a cause and doing it because of a greater reason. And so if we want to move the needle at all in our business, in our marriage, in our church, in our community, in politics, it's going to require that DNA of leadership.
That's amazing. And your book's amazing. You were kind enough to allow me to pre-read it and make some comments on it. I'm really grateful for that. Design for More is incredible. As they say, it's available at Amazon and wherever books are sold. I know Fox has featured it, as have a lot of outlets. It's really getting great traction. If our listening audience wants to connect to you, what's the best way to connect and follow?
Yeah, they can go to my site, which is lucasramirez.org.
We spell that for those of our audience that are not like me and from Texas.
Sure. It's Lucas is L-U-C-A-S, and then Ramirez is R-A-M-I-R-E-Z, all one word, lucasramirez.org. And then on social, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, I'm on, my handle is at the Lucas Ramirez. So all one word, the Lucas Ramirez. So yeah, people can connect with me there.
Kind of like the Ohio State. You are the one. You're the man.
Somebody else took Lucas Ramirez. So.
I assume with the.org. Hey, Lucas, I am so pumped you are here with us today and that we're working on doing some things together to get you in person in front of our audience. And I'm grateful that you're my friend. And so I want you to have an incredible week and know that if nobody else says thank you today, thank you for what you're doing to bring civility back and to make sure that we all know the life we're exposed to lead and that we truly are designed for more.
Yes. Thank you, Ron. It's a pleasure to be with you. And thank you for all you do.
Thanks. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you all for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for joining us. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him at Ron Kitchens or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. If you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you, grow our impact, and keep moving always forward.